This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to Enterprise Frida Liu together with Audrey Raj.
Yeah, so just a reminder that we've changed up our programming until the end of the MCO. With so many of us working from home, we want to make sure that you're still getting all the information and updates that you need. But in addition to that, we also want to help you adjust to the changes we've all had to make in our businesses and our lives. So just a reminder that for now, our programming begins at 7:30 on weekdays instead of the usual 6 a.m. start. And you can expect business and markets and all the important headlines as always. But throughout the day, we'll also be focusing on human connections, learning new skills, and basically just checking in to see that, if you're okay.
All right. So yesterday at 4 p.m., Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin announced an addition to the Prihatin Rakyat Economic Stimulus Package, including an allocation of 10 billion to support and provide relief for SMEs. We managed to speak to a variety of experts on their reaction to this edition. And first up is Joachim Sebastian, Managing Director of Everpeaks Consulting.
Actually, it's pronounced Joachim. If you tuned in last week, we spoke to Joachim about a letter he wrote to the Prime Minister, which highlighted the red tape that SMEs would have to go through in order to get some of the benefits announced in the Prihatin stimulus package, right? So following on from that, we have Joachim on the line again to give us his thoughts on this SME-focused package. Joachim, you know, what were your initial reactions to this supplementary stimulus measure for SMEs? And what were the main points that stood out for you?
So the first thing that I want to just address is that it's a good foot forward for the next additional stimulus package. I mean, we as SMEs and part of the business environment, we can't solely rely on the government to bail us out, but they are giving us the right crutches for us, you know, just to get started on walking on our own 2 feet back again. So the first thing that the government's announced that I think is really important is that they're going to open a dialogue session between the PKSs or the SMEs and the government to see how we can overcome the bureaucracy and all the restrictions for funding access with the banks, right? So that's the first thing. That's really great. The next thing is that they've almost doubled up the SME fund for the staff salary replacement from 600 ringgit to 1,002 for those companies that have less than 75 people. Now, that's a significant cost deferment because I see that we're going to be shut down for a month or two, and then I hope that, you know, staggeredly we'll be allowed to function again. And this particular benefit, 1,200 ringgit per employee for those with less than 75, is going to help majority of the PKSs. I mean, the companies that are bigger than that have or may possibly have cash flow that can sustain, but they also are helped out. You get 800 for those below 200, and you get 600 for those above 200. So that's where I think this will at least subsidize the cost of operations for the SMEs. The next thing that I want to share with you is the grant, the micro SME grant, about 2.1 billion. Now, this is a great initiative where the government's giving 3,000 ringgit for every company to actually pull through. And this is automatically dispersed through LHDN. Now, this is going to be very, very effective in addressing the short-term concerns. Again, it is a cash disbursement. And 3,000 ringgit for a micro SME means quite a lot. Sometimes, you know, or if you talk about small companies, one-man, two-man show, that could cover salaries for a month sometimes, you know, see how it goes. So at least that defers the cost of the MCO for these companies. I think it's a great move. The government also has removed the interest for the microcredit scheme, another great move where the government seemed to not profit off these situations and just give out cash that is required for operational needs by any company that qualifies for the microfinancing. There's a lot of good moves in this angle where the banks are now, or at least this particular credit line is, it's free of charge per se. What you need to do is to make sure that, you know, you pay it back.
Was there anything you felt was missing from this package, Joachim? Segments that were not addressed sufficiently?
I think this package is a great package to address the ones that are on the lower end of the spectrum, the smaller SMEs, right? The turnover is about, you know, 100,000 a year and below. So this really, really creates a huge impact for them. And these are the bulk of the SMEs anyway. So it's a good program, from the rental deferments to the money lenders or licensed money lenders moratorium as well, to the grant of 3,000 and the 2% removal of interest. So all these things are really build a robust case for them. What I really think that we need to actually address further from this is, number one, the startup scene is not very well addressed here, and the middle SMEs, which should be addressed with the SRF, right? And that's committed to by a dialogue. So what's the outcome of that dialogue? We don't know yet. I don't think it's a very concrete measure as of yet right now, but it's a complex issue regarding loan approvals and all the barriers that, you know, I personally wrote to the Prime Minister about. And this is something that needs to be looked at very granularly with the subject matter experts on hand to, you know, discuss and work through this.
So overall, does it suffice?
Will it suffice? I think this is another step in the right direction. I don't think we're there yet in terms of addressing the needs of the economy. And this is something that the government can't do immediately as well, because the ramifications and the issues that we are facing or will face are yet to surface at this juncture. So we're still in the MCO. There are a lot of uncertainties and emotions going around, but the facts are not yet out, because, again, the moratoriums are there, the funding structures are there, and most of the people are still under MCO. So once we start coming out of MCO, that's when I foresee more economic interventions that are needed, or programs that are needed to, you know, make sure that we get back on track.
Were there areas that could have used additional padding or support?
In terms of areas for additional padding, I think we've looked at the smaller companies, right? We also need to be able to, incentivize and provide the means where large corporations can also benefit from the package by being more supportive of the staff, supportive of local businesses, supportive of tenders and whatever not, that allows money to flow into the economy. I'm thinking more of tax breaks, or, you know, large incentives for companies to pour money back into the economy without burdening the government, because, you know, we can't depend 100% on government for every single thing. I think the startup scene, especially the technology startups that are IP based, they may not be generating revenue, but, you know, at times like this where investors pull out, they need additional support, or at least a structure that can work. So the MVC, the Malaysian Venture Capitalist Association, is working on something to provide some sort of equity investment instrument, which they will announce in due time. I think there are a lot of players who are coming to support them as well, but let's see how and what happens. I think they are in need. Whether the need is acute at this immediate moment, or is it a 1 to 2 month thing, you know, we have to evaluate that. Furthermore, I think the rural folk and those who are unbanked and we don't have the data in some form, in some database, they need to be addressed, because, you know, you do not want those businesses who are not connected to the system to also fail. And that's a very challenging task. I did not see so much of that. However, these people should have been addressed within the first stimulus portion, which is individual based, right?
And for e-commerce specifically, Joe, you know, what's the anticipated impact from this package, and what else could be done to help the segment?
Something to take note of, especially for the e-commerce scene, is that the e-commerce scene has been significantly affected since January, right? So all the companies, all the businesses that have been selling on e-commerce or exporting based off goods that they procure from China, have been severely affected from the early point of this year. So evaluating these companies, they're not going to look good right now. And many of them have already closed due to the inability to source goods from China. Now, the export e-commerce scene is still vibrant. From the data that I have as an enabler within the export scene, we're seeing demand from around the world. It's still there. What we need to do is to quickly capitalize on the situation once the risks of the COVID virus is deferred or defrayed, where you don't want a reoccurrence of the disease. The faster that we can move, the better it will be for our country to kick back through the economy, because the export demand from countries that are mature, they're still purchasing goods. The clients that we manage are still getting sales. So this is an opportunity where global demand can be met by suppliers who have the export capability of going manufacturer to consumer, right? And that's another thing. So for what the government can do is to come up with a standardized operating procedure and strictly enforce it and provide a means of reporting where staff or employees who feel concerned that the company is not complying with the said guidelines can report said structures. And in return, the government allows companies that can commit to these said guidelines to return to operations. And this will actually reduce the burden of support on the government itself, because you see more companies will start making money, people get paid, companies get paid, economy still functions a bit of a hobble, but it still works. The faster we can get to this, the better. But I promote or I support a full zero compromise approach to risks of COVID reoccurrence. When the time's right, the experts or the professionals in the healthcare industry will be able to advise us on this.
Yeah, all right. Thank you so much, Joachim. That was Joachim Sebastian, founder and CEO of cross-border e-commerce specialist Everpeaks Consulting. Now, we're taking a break for some messages, but when we come back, we check in with the guys from Breakfast Buddy, a full licensed Western breakfast and lunch food truck operator in Damansara. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.